about sharing a message on Thanksgiving, and that I believe it would be a very fitting and a good message to consider many of the things that God has done for us, many of the things that we as Christians, the blessings we receive as children of God, and it being harvest season, and we're seeing all the bountiful harvests of the fruit and the food and the just the many blessings we see bestowed upon us. And it'd be very fitting for us to just remember God and remember how he cares for us. And remember how he cares even for the sparrows, how much more for us. I also thought about the church, you all. Tremendous blessing it is to be able to share fellowship with you, to be able to come here week after week and receive the blessing of having like-minded believers to fellowship with and drawing encouragement from one another to encourage us to continue on in our faith in Christ. Tremendous blessing, and I thank God for that. And I thank you all for that, that I can be part of this. And then for the elders of the congregation, my thankfulness is towards you all also, how you've taken care of and shepherded us. And I thank God for that, and I thank you for your diligence in that. And so, as a bit of an intro, I wanted to share a bit of a Thanksgiving. There's many things we can be thankful for, but the topic will be a little bit something else today. So if you would turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read something out of there. Before we read, I'd like to start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we give this sermon into your hands. Lord, we pray that you would bless and sanctify the words that come out of my mouth. I pray that you would open the hearts of us, myself included, as I share a message that I believe is a very important message that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts that we could receive it, receive the truth of it. And Lord, may there be hungry hearts and souls in the midst of us today that will take any bit of truth and just eat it up and be encouraged and edified by it. Lord, ultimately, we want to give you honor and glory for whatever is being done. And I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to read Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 20 as an introduction text. It says there, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye children of light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So just a brief overview of what's going on in this chapter. we are reminded as children of God to walk in love as Christ has loved us. In verse 3 and 4, we are warned against immoral and ungodly and evil lifestyles, and that we should not partake of that, and that we should not be deceived, and that we should stay away from that, but rather walk in love. And in verse 8, he goes on and he reminds us, and some of us can relate, but he reminds us that sometimes we were there. At one point in time, we remember that we were there. We have been part of that darkness, but not to be there anymore. Verses 12, it talks about those things that we used to be part of. It's a shame even to speak of those things, let alone do those. It's a shame even to speak of them. And truly it is, to share some of the things that those of us who have been walking in a life of darkness before this, it's a shame to speak of. And I know there's many that could testify of that. And then in verse 14, yes, we're called to walk in love. We're warned where we were coming from. We're encouraged to walk in the light as Christ has walked in the light. And then in verse 14, we're told, and it reminds me of my salvation. It reminds maybe some of you of yours, but somewhere along the line when you were living in the darkness of your sin, Christ said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on thee." And some of you can testify, and I can testify, of a time when Christ, with his word, shined into a dark heart, and he said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will shine on thee." And then verse 15, it says, "See then, this has happened. What now? See then, walk circumspectly. Walk carefully. Redeem the time. Understand what is the will of God for us. Seek what the will of God is for us, and that we should, through God's grace, walk in a newness of life. Something different than where we've come from. We should be walking in a newness. And then, moving on, what encouragement do we see for us to move in a newness of life? You know, verse 15 and on, it says, walk circumspectly, walk strictly, walk carefully, redeem the time, understand what the will of God is for us. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God always for all things. And that's what I want to zoom in on today. Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're going to be looking at the topic of music. The topic is music. And I will share right up front, I'm not a scholar when it comes to music. I don't know the laws and the rules and the way that music should be, and I know that there's laws, and some of you younger people and maybe some of the more experienced men would be able to share on this, but I'm going to tell you up front, I'm not going to share on this. This is what I'll share on that. I know that music has laws, and it needs to be done in a right way in order to be considered good and right music. Some of the laws I know is melody needs to lead, harmony follows, rhythm can be in the background, but it should never lead. I know that music has the power to change the heartbeat of a person. It does. And that's all I know about the laws of music. But I want to share testimony and experience of the power of music. And so I'm not guessing here when I share. I'm not going to be guessing anything that I'm saying. I'm going to be telling you from experience about the power of music, both good and bad. And so I'm going to draw something here. And I wanted to do it before already, but I didn't want people staring at these words and be distracted through a children's lesson. But I'm going to write something here. No eraser? I'll just go like this. Okay. Excuse my messy writing. Rock, rap, country, contemporary Christian, spiritual songs, hymns, psalms. And I am convinced that you will all look at this list and you will say that this is the right order. When it comes to uplifting and godly, and when it comes to, I will say, demonic. Is this the right order? Or should I mix it up a bit? Some of you have experienced the growing up in an ungodly home, in an ungodly setting, and you know that this is the right order. And my testimony about music is that I've been in every single one of them. And this stage is demonic. And in this stage, people that will be involved in this have lust, hatred, they have anxiety, they have depression, they have anger, they're suicidal, they're on and on and on and on it goes. If you can think of immorality and wickedness, those types of people are right here and here. And they kind of go together. I've been here from maybe age 14 to 18, and here, and here, trying to get away from the bad stuff. I've gone to this, thinking that this is the good stuff, because that's the world, what the world thinks, this is the good stuff. Not seeking God, rebelling against God, wanting nothing to do with Him. Should somebody share the gospel with me, I would mock him and laugh at him in his face. And then here, maybe seeking God, but not really, just kind of wanting both. And at the age of 21, having opened the Bible for the first time and God convicting me and showing me the guilt of sin that I'm under, and I say, okay, I gotta start changing. I'm gonna start listening to this. And so now I start listening to songs that talk about Jesus. And there was no victory. These sins that I was struggling with, there was no victory as I was playing with this. And I remember a time wanting to seek God, looking for God, trying with all my might to be a Christian, having seen a few Christians and knowing what a real, true Christian is. I remember a time wanting to be there. And so you listen to this and try to make it help you or whatever it is, and you're reading the Bible. And a preacher come down from Mexico, and he preached evening services. And the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I didn't understand why I could not become a Christian who had victory over sins that a lot of this bound me in. And I asked that preacher, and I was in tears, and I asked him, along with five other preachers, why can I not get victory? Why can I not get victory? I'm trying to be a Christian. I'm trying. I was in tears. No, hardly no one said anything. One pastor said something. He said, what type of music do you listen to? And I said, remember, I'm coming from here. Good music. Good music. Contemporary Christian music. Toby Mac, Chris Tomlin. It's good music. I was oblivious to this stuff. But he told me, don't listen to it. I surrendered. Okay, I will surrender it. I went home that night. I gave my life to the Lord and I surrendered everything. And I got rid of this, all of it. I said, I won't listen to any music anymore. I'm going to listen to sermons and audio Bible. That's what I'm going to listen to. Because music, I guess, is bad. And so that's what I did. For 1 month, at least, I listened to nothing but sermons and audio Bible. And that was a time for me to sober up. That was a time for me to sober up. When I was finally sober, when I was finally ready, I asked God-fearing people who I know had a clean, pure, good testimony, what kind of music can I listen to? And a godly woman gave me this. And a godly man gave me this. And people that I knew had victory walking with the Lord, they began to give me songs. And they were these types of songs. And that began to help edify and build what had already begun in my heart. And so I'm here to say today, I don't know the laws, but I have experience. And I want to warn you today, and I trust that for the most part we are here, but that we would... that we would continue to go this way, and that we would never want to go this way. And if we were here, but we are here, turn around. Please. And I'm not saying that lightly. If we were here, but we are here, please turn around. Satan will have you bound hand and foot in no time. Music has the power to move us. It has the power to direct the path of our life. There's a saying that says this, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. And it's true, and the explanation is this, you tell me who your friends are, like I can see who your friends are, and I'll say, okay, well, that young man or that young woman or that older man or woman, his spirit is like them, and that's why he's first of all attracted to them. And secondly, they and him or her now begin to influence each other, and they encourage each other on that same path. So tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. I would dare to say, tell me what type of music you listen to, and I will tell you who you are. And I will tell you a lot about who you are. I will tell you the struggles you have. I will tell you the bondages you have. I will tell you the dangers you're going towards. And I'm telling you from experience, not because I'm guessing. I know when I meet someone, And he listens to psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and is circumspect in the music that he listens to, I'm confident to say that this man or woman is upright in his ways. This is a person who hates evil. This is a person who walks circumspectly, a man whose heart is towards God, a man who has victory over the devil, or a woman. A man who has a form of godliness and the power thereof. Not because music alone converted him, but because he is like-minded with that kind of music. And so he befriends that kind of music. And so as he listens to it, the spirit of that music begins to influence that God-fearing man or woman. And it encourages him to have a heart of worship and praise to God all the more. See, that's why we who love the Lord, we come together and we think it's very, very important because we encourage and influence one another. It's of utmost importance. And that's why we who love the Lord are befriended with good, godly, upright, and encouraging music. It's influential. Tell me what type of music you listen to, and I can say a lot about you. Not because I'm a prophet, but because I know the influential power that music has. You show me a man or a woman who out of his or her own heart's desire, not because these are the rules, but because of his or her own heart's desire, chooses to listen to godly psalms, hymns, and pure spiritual songs, then you show me a man or woman of God. And it's a shame that there's not more people like this in our world. But I know and I trust that for the most part we are. And it's a tremendous blessing that we have each other to encourage one another in this. But if you look out in society, if you even look out in the churches as a whole, it's a very rare thing. It's a very rare thing. But we found a group of people like this. And brothers and sisters, we need to keep our convictions on this. Do you know what will happen if we begin to lessen our convictions on godly music and what it is? The devil will take a driver's seat in our life. It will be like the sign that I seen 10 years ago going towards London on a church billboard. It said, "Don't take the devil for a ride. He will take the driver's seat." That's what it would be like. I shared this with Ramiro, a worker that me and him are working together, and he gave a good example. He took a 2,000-pound strap. We use these to lift up big I-beams to build our buildings, and he wrapped it around my hand, and he yanked on it. Give the devil your hand. He's going to suck you in all the way. It would be like giving the devil a hand. And he wraps a 2,000-pound strap on your hand, and he yanks you into a dark place. This is what we're playing with when we're going this way. I have studied a little something about the Christians, and yes, some of the early Christian writings talked about this, but that the Christians, they have power and authority over demons. The true Christian has power and authority and victory over the devil. But when we begin to lose godly conviction, and when we begin to walk away from our godly convictions, Satan will attack, and he will bind us hand and foot. I want to talk about a few genders of music, and I'm not going to talk about all of them. But I want to be I want to be persuasive. I want you to truly believe what I'm going to share. Not because somebody said it, but because you know for a fact that it's true. And I want to talk a little bit about contemporary Christian music. You know, tell me the type of music you listen to and I'll tell you who you are. If you would observe the lives of the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of all the people who listen to contemporary Christian music, mostly, they live a life that says this: I can continue in sin that grace may abound. That's the life they live. They live a life that says, I'm so thankful for the cross. I'm living in sin. I'm living in immorality. I'm living in this sin and that sin. But oh, I'm so thankful for the cross. Jesus saved me, and I'm so thankful for that. The vast majority of those who listen to and are influenced by contemporary Christian music live that kind of life. There's a form of godliness with no power to live a holy life. And what does the Bible say that we should do when we run into things like that and people like that? Somebody say it. From such turn away. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Do we see that in the contemporary Christian stars today? About 2 years into my Christian life, I would have just crossed this border. About 2 years into my Christian life, and a young man, and I looked up to him at that time, and he invited me to a passion conference. And who's ever heard of a passion conference? Passion conference? If you haven't, that's good. If you have, that's okay. We know you're not into it. Passion conference. It's a concert where all the contemporary music stars come and they have a concert. And apparently it's godly and uplifting. And then I was told by others, you can just feel the spirit there and you just have to come and you can't miss it. And he offered me a free ticket if I would come. And I wasn't very bold yet in that, but I didn't want to go. I heard some dangers and I already learned the danger of contemporary Christian music. And so I somehow squirmed my way out of it. I said, no, not, I don't think so, not this time. Whatever kind of excuse I gave, I didn't want to go because I truly knew there was a danger there. And yet I didn't want to tell another Christian who didn't see it. And so they ended up going, and as they came back, I find out that Carrie Underwood was the lead performer there. And who knows who Carrie Underwood is? And I'm so blessed that most of you don't know. Carrie Underwood, well, I know because I've been here. She's a country star, and she sings a song about a one time when she was driving to Cincinnati, and the roads were white, filled with snow, and she had a baby in the back seat, and the baby was crying, and she lost control and was about to get into maybe a head-on collision or something, what it was. And she lifts up her hands and she says, Jesus, take the wheel. And Jesus takes the wheel and saves them, and that's the story. That's the depth of the story. And she was leading at a concert. She's a country star. She's not a contemporary Christian star. But somehow, they accepted her to come. Because it's together. I would really group these two together. My question is, what about the other song that she just sang 5 minutes ago, that when she was going to slash her boyfriend's car tires and hit and smash the lights in with a Louisville Slugger baseball bat? And they're leading in the contemporary Christian music. And she's an ungodly woman. And the contemporary Christian music listeners will, for the most part, accept her as a Christian, because she said something about Jesus. It's a hypocrite. It's ungodly. It's a tiny bit of God, a form of godliness with zero power to live the life. And those things bother me, because I know who she is. Why don't other people see it? And why would we want to go that direction? When I first came out of this, this was revealed to me in many ways, the darkness of it. I did some of my own research. I dug a little deeper, and I looked up some of the contemporary Christian artists, and I saw, I looked up Toby Mac, and maybe it's again that if I ask who knows him, nobody knows him, and that would be a true blessing. But Toby Mac is a contemporary Christian star, and I just looked up a video of a Toby Mac concert. Here you have the stage dark, smoke coming up off the ground, lights starting to shine on him, tens of thousands of people in the crowd, and he begins to rap about Jesus. And the crowd roars more than I've ever seen anybody worship God. And the girls are screaming. And after the show is over, they all want his autograph. Who's getting the glory here? And if you want to hear him, go listen to that contemporary Christian music station. He's there. It's ungodly, and we don't want to go there. The thing is, some of it is so deceptive. Some of it starts good and then ends ungodly. There's another contemporary Christian artist. Her name is Carrie Job. Some of you might know her. My question is, do we want our daughters following her direction? It's not at all our convictions. It's not at all godly convictions. She sings a song that starts off good. It's a song out of Numbers. And we'd listen to it at first and we'd say, praise the Lord. It goes like this. The Lord bless thee and keep thee, make his face shine upon thee. And you just want to say, yes, Lord, bless me. I need your blessings. And you bow your head and worship. It's a 10-minute song. And pretty soon you start hearing the rhythm. And pretty soon people start doing this. And by the end of the song, they're throwing the arms in the air, and it's all people. Somebody sent me a video of it where all the people of different nations, they're singing this song. And at first they're praising God. And towards the end, they're like throwing that blessing at you, apparently. It's ungodly. And that's, I believe, something deceptive, because it starts off fairly good. And it's scripture. I would say make a U-turn. Let's go here a little bit. I won't go much further than that, but we'll stop. We'll talk about country music. The fruit that country music produces in the lives of those who listen to it is kind of like the same as this. It's the same fruit. you'd put them together. Just like you'd put these together, you'd put these together, and you'd put these together, and you'd put these together. You really would. It's a lifestyle that's pretty much the same as contemporary, but would have a little profession of faith in Christ, yet without a power to live a godly life. Some of the fruits of country music, and there's many wicked fruits, are selfishness. There's probably 100 or 500 or 1,000 songs that would promote selfishness. One that I thought of, there's a song that talks about me, I, my, me, my, what I like, what I want, what I see, what I hear, what I do. That's country music. Unashamedly. That's what they want. That's what they preach. It's about me. It's about I. It promotes drunkenness. Song after song talks about the sorrow that they're in, get drunk to stop thinking about it, or the drunkenness that they're in, and it leads on to lust and immorality. It incites lust. I've had young men come up to me desiring to find victory over sins of lust, and yet not full surrendering, but year after year, they struggle. Why can I not have victory over my lust addictions, over pornography addictions? Why can I not have victory? And then I ask the same question that the preacher asked me, what kind of music do you listen to? Well, country music. And stop listening to it. But I like it. Then you're not fully surrendered. Stop listening to it. You're feeding it into your ears. How do you expect to have victory over it? But I like it. I like the style. Stop listening to it. But I like it. Well, that's exactly right. It's almost like what Johnny was sharing, itching ears. They go to what they like. Ultimately, it's not a full surrender. It's not that country alone has him in that bondage. It's that he's not fully surrendering it. He or she, they might like their sin. So they group themselves together with whatever it is. Music has power. Country music promotes hypocrisies. Willie Nelson, he smokes marijuana, and then he goes and sings hymns about Jesus. He does. I had that CD. Many songs in the country music gender, or whatever how you say it, genre. Somebody's laughing at me over there. Many of those songs, they say, church on Sunday, beer on Friday. That's what they promote. I want to go to heaven, but not now. I'm a party first. Everyone wants to go to heaven. No one wants to go now. Country music promotes anxiety, depression, lust. Sob story after sob story. And if you have a sob story, there's a country song for you. And it's not going to help you out of the sob. It's going to keep you in it. It's going to give you a pity party. And I'm not guessing. I don't want to go into this. It's a shame, brothers and sisters. It's a shame. The fruits that are produced in the lives of those who listen to this, it's a shame to speak. It's the most ungodly, immoral, perverted, God-hating group of sinners you've ever seen. And I fired a guy because he asked me to take time off to go to a rap concert. And I seen the pattern. I seen the pattern. He was a young man. He was struggling. He wanted to do right. And we figured we'd hire him, and we'd try to encourage him and influence him and teach him about the being born again. And we did all that, and he seemed good. And all of a sudden, you seen a decline, and all of a sudden, he's vaping. And all of a sudden, you hear he's experimenting with drugs. And all of a sudden, you hear he's asking one of my other employees to come and help him to watch just in case he overdoses. And then all of a sudden, he asked me to take time off for a rap concert. You see, it matches. And I said, I'm sorry. We tried to encourage you, young man, but you were going in a bad direction. You're going to have to go. And so how can we discern? We know this is wrong. We know this. Right here, sometimes it gets gray for us, but I wish it wouldn't. And how can we discern what is godly and what is ungodly music? And I want to say, if you're not sure, do what I did. Get rid of it all and listen to sermons and audio Bibles for a month, think about it, and then go back. Be on the safe side. Be on what you know is God. The Bible says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Jesus sang hymns. Mark 14:24, it says, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus sang a hymn. We can trust that it's safe to sing hymns. Spiritual songs. Songs that are full of truth. Scripture songs. The Dyke sang it there the other day. When thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Spiritual songs. Bible turned into songs. When I got saved, I endeavored to play it safe. And I remember that song from, you would have called me a liberal Christian, I was singing that song. Consider how the music moves you. Music moves you. Physically, it can move you. You sing a hymn. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. And you turn your heart to God. How does the music move you? Does it turn? And I know we, as Anabaptist Mennonite people, we don't do this very much. But I know that music moves you. And in your heart, you're doing this sometimes. I know many of us are doing this in our hearts. And it's okay if we worship God and throw our hands in the air and just worship Him. How does the music move you? Does it turn our hearts in worship to Him? Some songs and rhythms, they make you do this. When you see that, stop. I seen it in churches. People singing songs and they're throwing their hands like that. Stop it. Something's wrong when the music moves you that way. I don't care if it's godly words. Some have told me, well, as long as they're godly words, it's okay. No, it's not. Rap music, it makes you throw your hands in the air. That song that I just sung, the blessing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, will make you do this. And then towards the end, you're throwing your hands in the air and you're yelling it almost. How does the music move you? We also need to observe the lives of those that pen the songs, yeah? But also those that sing the songs. Fanny Crosby. She was a God-fearing woman. She has a testimony like I've never heard before. When she came into the church, everyone knew she was there because the Holy Spirit was with her. They could feel it. She was a godly woman. She wrote 8,000 hymns. Many of the hymns we sing today. And she lived a godly life. Charles and John Wesley, they were godly people. They worked in the revival. And thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of people got saved through their preaching. And they wrote hymns. Many of the Anabaptists, our forefathers, they wrote hymns in the 1600s, 1500s. While they were undergoing severe trials and hard things, they wrote hymns out of worship towards God. And 500 years later, we're singing them today. These songs, they float out of a heart filled with the Holy Spirit. And we can be confident that listening and singing the hymns that they wrote, it would be very good for us spiritually. So if we discern that the lives of those who wrote the hymns were godly and good and righteous and upright, that's a good sign that we too, when we listen to those hymns, it will be spiritually edifying for us. It will be uplifting and it will be God-blessed. Now, there's some, I said it before, there's some hymns, Tell It to Jesus. It was written by a godly man, Jeremiah Rankin. He also wrote God Be With You Till We Meet Again. It's a hymn that came out of a Holy Spirit-filled man of God. And praise the Lord, we sing that song, but I won't listen to it sung by Willie Nelson. Because the spirit of Willie Nelson is an ungodly, immoral, filthy spirit. And I won't be allowing that to influence me or my family. Some of us might see this as a gray area, but I encourage us to see it as black. And I'll tell you why. It does make a difference who sings it. And here's an example. About a year ago, I was building inside a warehouse, and I was working together with an electrician, and he had something that would have been like right here. Playing. It was the most demonic music I ever heard in my life. And they literally even made their voices like demons as they sung this song. And yet something about that song stood out to me. There was something there. It's like, what is it? I listened closely. It was O Holy Night. Does it make a difference who sings the song? 100% it makes a difference. I couldn't believe my ears. It was O Holy Night. Yes, the devils worship, don't they? The devils believe too. And they tremble. It's more than just the words that have an effect on us. It's the music. You know, and we need to observe the lives of those who sang the songs. Many of the contemporary Christian rock singers, they sing songs about Christ, but they sing it for their own glory. Their own greedy gain, their own popularity. While performing, they dance around on stage. And when their performance is done, they spend hours signing photographs and signing shirts and t-shirts and books. And who got the glory? Many of those singers live ungodly lives. They sing about Jesus, but they live ungodly lives. And when we see this, red flag, raise the red flag, and that's what I'm doing today, raising the red flag. Warning. Many of those singers live ungodly lives, even though they're singing about Christ. And this will feed the flesh, not the spirit. You know, Johnny Cash sings hymns. Don't play Johnny Cash's music. Don't sing his music. Willie Nelson sings hymns. Flee from this kind of stuff. Their lives are whoremongerous lives. It's ungodly. They're drunkards, potheads, and the spirit of the devil is working in them. Let's not allow that to come into our minds. It might teach us that we can be hypocrites just like them. I told you before, I had a Willie Nelson CD that talked about, that was a hymn CD, and I praise God for another young man who said, okay, so Willie Nelson, he gets high and then he goes and sings about Jesus? Huh. And that's all he had to say. On the way home, I chucked that CD out the window. Does that line up? Is that the Christianity we want to live? And so we observe the fruits of the lives of those singing it. But we also want to observe the fruits of the lives of those who listen to these types of music. And as I've observed, and we'll go back to this, as I've observed, why is it that for the most part, the people that listen to contemporary Christian music, for mostly that type of music, they have no sense of modesty? Why? For the most part, they act and they look just like the world, only they have Jesus stapled to it. It's because they are listening to worldly music. And it influences them in a negative way. They act worldly because they are worldly. The music they listen to matches that. It feeds their flesh. It feeds their emotions. It doesn't feed the spirit. On the other hand, why is it that Christians who listen to only psalms and hymns and pure spiritual songs, they live godly lives, they live modestly. It's a huge concern to have modesty. You can have spiritual conversations with them. You can be edified by their fellowship. They're knowledgeable in the scriptures. For the most part, they are. So why is that? We need to discern these things. Put these puzzles together. It's not just the words. And we need to consider, what does the Bible say about music? The Bible doesn't say a whole lot about music, but yet we can consider what the Bible says about music. Ephesians 5, 9, 18 to 19, it says there, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then Colossians 3, read it too. Colossians 3, verse 16, it says there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Okay, so we have some direction out of the Bible, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We can admonish one another with them. We can encourage one another with them. And the grace of God can dwell in us richly, and the words of Christ will dwell in us richly. And that's good. The music should be spiritually edifying to us, and it should be directed to God to bring Him glory. Three types of music are listed there. Psalms, and the book of Psalms, as we know, it's a book of songs. The Old Testament believers, they sang them as songs. The early church, they sang them as songs. And I believe that's at the top of the list. because it's God's word in song. And did you know that when we listen to music, we listen to songs, it enters our long-term memory? It does. It's long-term memory. And so what a blessed way to get the scriptures in your minds. Listen to them in song. The Psalms, they have power and they declare the authority and awesomeness of God. And it would do us all very well to know them off by heart. And I believe the early church and the saints long ago, those who sung the Psalms, many of them knew the book of Psalms off by heart. What a blessing that would be if we had the words of Christ dwelling in us richly to that extent. Hymns, we were told about hymns. Those are good. Jesus song hymns. I've considered if you open your black songbooks or your red ones, you look at the dates on the hymns, it's tremendous. Some of them are 1,800 years old. Some of them are 500 years old. Many of them are 200 to 300 or 400 years old. And we're still singing them today. I think there's a reason why these songs are still out today. I think they're God-blessed, Holy Spirit-started. Why are we still singing these hymns today? It's because the men and women who wrote these songs were men and women who were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's no wonder why the secular songs, even the contemporary songs, they kind of lose their popularity and they fade away, and then that was it. You know, it filled the emotion for a time, and it's gone. And what's popular next? Another thought I thought about hymns is that hymns brings unity. Hymns brings us together, and we all sing a hymn in unity, and not only unity among us. But many of these hymns were written by our brothers and sisters hundreds of years ago in a time of great struggle or great revival, and we sing them and we relate to them. It brings unity to the church. Hymns are a powerful tool for us to edify one another, to encourage each other, to admonish one another, or to be admonished by them. And ultimately, they're a powerful tool for us to bring glory to God. Again, I stress the point, Jesus sang hymns. And my point is that we are safe when we sing hymns. Satan's not going to take a hold of us in any way, shape, or form because we sung or listened to a hymn. If anything, it will strengthen us against our enemies. And for me and for my family, that's exactly what I want. I want to be strengthened against my enemy and encouraged in God. And if song can do that, then I want to choose good songs to help us to do that. We need to remember that Satan is extremely talented when it comes to music. God created him with music as one of his most precious gifts. Ezekiel 28 says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Satan was created to glorify God, or Lucifer was created to glorify God with music and to cover his glory. And now Satan is cast down because of his rebellion. And if Satan wants to deceive us, which he does, music will be one of the strongest weapons that he's going to use. And we need to be on guard. It will do us well to know the devices of Satan. And this is an obvious device. Finally, Paul speaks of spiritual songs. Songs that are full of the words of Christ. Songs that are, scripture turned into music. Full of the words of Christ. Take a passage of scripture and turn it into a song and sing it and be encouraged by it and be blessed by it. These are the types of songs that will help us and benefit us to walk circumspectly in our Christian life. You know, what a blessing it is when we trying to raise our children and are teaching them songs and they pick them up so fast and all of a sudden they know them off by heart and you don't even know them off by heart yet. What a blessing. What a way to put the words of Christ in their hearts that it may dwell in them richly. I'm going to bring it to a close here. It's a fact that the music we listen to will influence us. Good music will have a positive effect. Bad music will have a negative effect. Why not be on the safe side and go forward with God? Because it's our souls, and it's the souls of our families, and it's the souls of those that we are influencing that are on the line. So let's make sure that what we listen to and what we sing will always bring glory to God. Let's make sure that what we listen to and what we sing will draw us closer to Him. The Scriptures give us good guidelines about what we should listen to, what we should be singing. When we choose our music, we should consider, will my choice of music weaken my relationship with God, or will my choice of music draw me closer to Him? Consider where it will lead our families in 5 to 10 years. That sometimes has helped me. This may be okay. How about in 10 years from now, how will that have affected my family? Sometimes that helps us to discern a little. Yeah, maybe, but really? Maybe it's gray, but maybe it's black? Let's consider. Let's not be so short-sighted, but let's think about the future of our families. Finally, if we want to be able to discern between good and evil music, we need to submit ourselves to God and obey Him. And our discernment will get weaker if we are not being obedient to God. But as we trust and obey God, and if we put our faith in Him, the Holy Spirit, not being quenched, will reveal these things to us, and we will be able to discern because the Holy Spirit is teaching us, not because men taught us. You know, we don't need men teaching us. We have the Holy Spirit of God that can teach us. We have the Holy Spirit of God when we walk circumspectly with Him and obey and honor and respect Him. So may that be an encouragement and a challenge. I hope I didn't want to step on anyone's toes, nothing like that. This has been a burden, and I trust that God can use it to help us all see the depth and reality and the dangers and the possible goodness that can come out of choosing the right type of music. So God bless you all.